number 358. Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stand. So build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, you must hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, just hold to God's unchanging hand. And you must build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand and trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, and if by earthly friends forsaken, oh, still more closely to Him cling. Oh, just hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. And you must build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand and trust in Him who will not leave you. Oh, whatsoever years may bring, and if by earthly friends forsaken, oh, still more closely to Him cling. And you must hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, just hold
to His hand,
unchanging hand. And you must build your hopes on things eternal. Oh, just hold to God's unchanging hand and covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Oh, but seek to gain the heavenly treasure. Oh, for they will never pass away. Oh, just hold. Come on and sing it. Unchanging hand. Oh, you must hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, you must build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand.
I like this last verse.
Oh, and when your journey is completed, and if to God you have been true, oh, then fair and bright your home in glory. Oh, your enraptured soul will view, but you must hold God's unchanging hand. Oh, just hold to God's unchanging hand. And you must build your hopes on things eternal and hold Oh, you must hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, you must hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, you must build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's
your Bible. And turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. The great book of Matthew 24. Hallelujah. Thank you, gentlemen. They'll sing again for us tonight, I pray, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It is just good to be in the presence of the Holy Ghost this morning. How many can say it's good to be in the presence of the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. We're not here just to be with Brother Chambers or with the great musicians or with the Sunday school teacher. We're here to be here for the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The book of Matthew, chapter 24. We shall begin reading with verse 37. When I was saved 67 years ago, this was one of the sermons you heard often throughout the church world. Matthew 24 was a highlight of the prophetic preaching of that era. Often, the preacher would preach from Matthew 24. And you knew exactly what direction you was going to take, what direction you was going to go. And God would often visit the house of God. Now, listen carefully. I am aware that this chapter is preached very little today. And I am devoting myself this morning to begin to promote the preachers that I know preaching this great truth, the coming of the Lord. A St. Overseer said to me not long ago, I don't remember the last sermon I heard on the rapture. I don't remember, he said, the last sermon I heard on the rapture. Well, I can tell you that is a marvelous evidence that we're right there. When they shall say, oh, they deny. When they begin to look for things around them instead of the coming of the Lord. Evidence, sign. All right, Matthew 24:37, I'm sorry. But as the days of Noah were. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Notice that little word be. Also as in the days of Noah, the coming of the Son of Man shall be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Notice that be again. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore. Would you say those words with me? Watch therefore. For you know not what hour your Lord doth come. For you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not have permitted, not have suffered his house to be broken in. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I want to preach this morning on one taken and one left. One taken and one left. Father, you've really poured this thought into my heart. You've made me throb to preach this truth with a sweet anointing, with an arresting unction of the Holy Ghost, so that nobody in this building will take casual these words. Father, I pray that they will be so anchored to our hearts, that we will be so smitten with the truth of this message, that for days we will share it, that we will think of it, that we will pray about it, that we will consider it, and that we will be dedicated to be ready in such an hour as you think not. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. I'm preaching this morning on one taken and one left. And I want to make this Matthew 24 become a book anchored in your heart. I want you to get the things in this text that I read so part of your memory that wherever you go, there's an opportunity to share what you're excited about, what the future holds, what's laying in front of you, that you will want this truth to take a hold of other hearts. I yearn to get people thinking about the coming of the Lord. One of my great desires is to make these things so real and so genuine, and that people will think of them so devotedly that will really become a part of our life. That we are watching for the coming of the Son of Man. That we're looking up because our redemption draweth nigh, the Bible says. That we are believing, even excited about the moment of being caught away with Him, being in His divine presence forever. Now, let's think for a moment. Why does the devil hate Matthew 24 so seriously? I remember the first day that I heard a doubt about Matthew 24. I'd called a preacher friend who pastored in Pigeon Forge, pastored at the church there where my Teresa, her family, were living for some period of time. And I remember calling that dear friend one morning, just anxious to talk to a friend. And I called his name. I said, "Brother, I just had a burden this morning to call, tell you how much I love you, and to talk a little bit about Matthew 24. And he stopped me. He said, "Brother Chambers, I'm sorry, but I need to tell you that Matthew 24 doesn't have anything to do with the rapture." And I said, my brother, where in the world did you hear such a thing?" And he tried to tell me. I never really understood. But later, I learned. I began to get calls on Open Bible Dialogue. And they would say, "Brother Chambers, you need to quit preaching Matthew 24. That chapter, that book, the whole Matthew, it's not for the church. That chapter was written for Israel. And it has no application to the church of Jesus Christ." And I said, brethren, where in the world did you get such an idea?" And from that time in the early 1980s, there was a tremendous effort to take away the truth of Matthew 24. That has happened over and over in the last nearly 40 years. And now, it's been a long time since I heard somebody preach on Matthew 24. But yet, here is a chapter that if it has any clear language, this language is clear. There's no way to doubt it. There's no way to penknife it. There's no way to take it away. I shall do my best to help you understand. Now, let me say something about the rapture. Do you understand how much glory and power is in the coming of the rapture? You can study the Bible from the creation of man, the Garden of Eden. You can come all the way through that Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament, and you will never find an event more flooded with supernatural power than you find with the rapture. The rapture is just laden, overwhelmed, clock full of wonderful truth about supernatural events. Think about the city of Jericho, and the whole city fell inward. All four sides fell inward miraculously as Israel's army marched around that city. When they blew their trumpets and shouted, the walls fell. A glorious, triumphant moment. Think about Israel passing through the Red Sea and God paving a highway in the bottom of that ocean. Well, ocean like river, the great Red Sea. And God paved the road and they walked through on dry ground. The armies of Egypt were caught in the mud and the mire and lost their whole army in the bowels of that Red Sea. God's miraculous power. Think about when God opened up the rock and fed water enough for about 2 million people and all their cattle. You can imagine those 2 million people all took a bath from that desert dust and satisfied their thirst. And great, great waters flowed out of that rock. A river from a rock. A river from a rock. Because of God's miraculous power. And event after event, God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah with one great baptism of fire. God has done so many miraculous things. The Bible is loaded with the supernatural. Amen? The Bible is loaded with the supernatural. It's a supernatural book. But nothing. Nothing. I said nothing is greater than that moment when the trumpet of God shall sound. When that trumpet of God shall sound and the graveyards of the world are suddenly betaken with resurrections of saints of the living God. Literally multitudes of men and women who've been long ago buried and long ago their ashes have turned to dust and there's no semblance of a body within those graveyards. But in a moment of time, that dust turns to bodies. Hallelujah. And God resurrects a multitude, a great number. I don't know how many, but I can hardly wait. But then, as great as that is, living saints, Holy Ghost filled men and women all over the face of this God-given earth, sanctified multitudes as those dead in Christ are rising just a little bit ahead of us. I know Sister Chambers is going to look and say, goody, goody, Joe, I got ahead of you one time. Hallelujah. 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 And they're coming out of that grave. I said the other day, I'd like to be standing there when Mama resurrects and I can be right behind her going up. I'm telling you, think about a multitude of people in mortal bodies. I mean nothing but mortal bodies. No capacity beyond the normal. And suddenly they become paranormal, or maybe I should say supernatural, because they'll be changed supernaturally, and in a moment of time, these bodies will take on a glorified body, a substance of heavenly dimension, a substance of heavenly power, and they will ascend right off this earth. You say they'll defy gravity. Oh no, they don't defy gravity. They have something far beyond gravity. Hallelujah. And they rise. You talk about a miracle. The devil hates it with a passion. I don't think there's anything beside Jesus Christ. That's his first hatred. But number two, after the hatred of the Son of God, is the hatred of that day of a supernatural event. When the raptured saints of God, both living and the dead, arise together to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, I don't blame the devil. I'd hate it too. But could I tell you something? He can't do one thing about it. The devil is as helpless as he can be against that rapture. That there is no, you got to understand, friend, when God raptures the saints, while the Holy Ghost and the angels and Jesus, and I don't know all the parts of each dimension, while they are resurrecting the saints of God, the angels of God will be sweeping the atmosphere. They will be sweeping the heavenly dimension between here and glory. And they'll be cleaning every demon out. They'll be cleaning every spirit of darkness out. They will throw the devil down to the earth. And while we are resurrected, the angels are cleaning up the place where we're fixing to go dwell. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Saints of God, you hear me? I can understand why the devil hates this event and why he hates Matthew 24. It's understandable. Because this didn't happen. You hear me, Rodney? Hear me, Priscilla? Good to learn your name, Priscilla. While all of this is taking place, the world will fall into consternation like they've never felt. That the saddest day of human history will be that day after the rapture. All the world that's heard preachers like me preaching about the coming of the Lord, and they suddenly realize, I missed it! Can you imagine the feeling of a backslider who used to be full of the Holy Ghost, who used to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave evidence, who used to pray until the glory of God will overshadow them. And here they are waking up one morning and the news is saturated with multitudes have disappeared. We don't know where they went. The secular media will say they'll have all kinds of things trying to explain. But when that backslider wakes up and no, I could be there. I could be up there. And here I am down here. Somebody raise a hand and help me, will you? Come on, raise a hand. Father, by the grace of the Holy God, help us understand this is about to happen. Oh, it could be today. It could be today. Hallelujah. I did something Thursday, Friday, I'm not sure which day. Never done before. I called the radio station. I said, I want you to put on an announcement for me. What do you want? Well, just cut the mic on. Let me give it to you, and then you play it for me as many times as you will. And then I said on the radio, I don't know how many times it was aired. I called WSTS. They did the same. And I said, I want to announce that tomorrow, Open Bible Dialogue will not air in case the rapture takes place. Hallelujah. I heard nothing but good from people who heard it. I don't know why. Probably some didn't like it. But I'm going to tell you something. That's just how imminent it is. That's just how close it is. The coming of the Lord. Now let's go to this text. You understand the necessity. You understand the beauty. You understand what's about to happen. You understand what God's about to do. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now let's talk about that. As the days of Noah were, eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, pleasure crazy, pleasure hungry, running to and fro, and all caught up in a world around them, all committed to making a better salary, committed to a nicer house, committed to this and committed to that, and just dedicated, worn out with the world, worn out. He said, as the day of Noah was, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Remember what God said when he looked on that day, in that day? He said, I repent that I even made man. Could I take a moment? What about the transvestites that are just growing by multitudes? What about some stupid doctor that would write and say, no mother has the right to tell her child, you're a girl or you're a boy? Mothers don't know that. You can't go by the look of their body. You can't go by their anatomy. You got to let them decide when we get through with them. Remember that little part, when we get through with them. When we get our thoughts in their head. When we get our attitudes in their mind. Then they'll decide whether they are a girl or a boy. Now, how in the world could a sane society that claims doctor degrees and master degrees and all kinds of level of academic accomplishment look at man and say, you don't know you're a man. You might be a woman inside. I want to tell you something. God didn't make anything but men and women in the physical person. Hallelujah. And God knows what we are, but as the day of Noah. Now, you got to study a little bit about the days of Noah. I mean, they even had demons that were coming down and having relationship with women. And those demons were producing in those women great giants. And when it said great giants, we're talking about demon-possessed characters. We know about men. I'm sure all men. I don't know that. But producing such evil and such wickedness, that's just overwhelming. The days of Noah. The days of Noah. You name one thing in our day that you can't describe being worse than the days of Noah. I don't know a thing, Brother Dylan, Brother Joe. I don't know a thing about this society that's not a little bit worse than the days of Noah. I think you can agree with that. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the time, the day of the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. How many believe then that that scripture is now fulfilled in our ears? Raise your hand if you believe it. Is that scripture today fulfilled in our ears? Is it Priscilla? Is it Young Visitor? Is that day not fulfilled? Is it not as it were in the days of Noah, if not worse? I'm overwhelmed by all of this. I'm overwhelmed by all of this. Now, this scripture goes on to say, I don't think I read this one. It says, this generation. Now, listen to me. Don't forget me. This generation shall not pass till all of this come to pass. Well, we were out eating Thursday. My family hijacked me. And I kind of enjoyed being hijacked because I stay busy. But they hijacked me. They're here this morning. But we're sitting at the table. And that's four generations. Brother Chambers, Teresa, Krista, and Natalie. And I must confess, Natalie is more beautiful and more wonderful than all the other three put together. And my granddaughter's not going to like that. But listen, let me tell you. Four generations. He said this generation. I don't know what he's talking about. This one? Or this one? Or this one? Or this one? But I can tell you, a generation is alive right now to behold everything I'm preaching that shall not pass until the coming of the Lord occur. Is that pretty plain? I'm not telling you it's my generation. I sure do hope it is. Hallelujah. They try to get me to put a marker at Mama's grave with both our names. I said, I ain't putting my name out there. Ain't no way. I'm expecting to go with Jesus when he comes. And if I don't, then they can pay for it. Goody, goody, goody. Hallelujah. Goody, 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 Teresa. Listen to me, church. I'm telling you, this generation shall not pass. He's coming. Somebody raise a hand and say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Brother Robert, I'm so hungry. Brother Robert, I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry, Brother John. I'm hungry, Brother John. You may never get to pastor, young man. I hope you don't. I hope he comes before then. Hallelujah. But if you don't, I hope you do. Hallelujah. Listen to me, church. The coming of the Lord is at the door. Hallelujah. This generation shall not pass. But as it was in the days of Noah, eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day. I love those great scriptures. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Hallelujah. And knew not until the flood came. Now you got to get this part. And knew not until the flood came. And knew not. Are you listening? They didn't know. They had no consciousness. They would not listen. You could say it to them over and over, and they just didn't hear you. Noah preached 100 years, they say. I don't know that, but it seems that 100 years, and won nobody but his sons and their wives. And that's a miracle. I'm not decrying that. But I'm here to tell you, he preached it, and he preached it. And can you see them clawing at the sides of that ark as the waters begin to rise? Can you see them banging on the doors and the windows? Can you see them throwing a rope up and trying to get up on top? Can you see all that was happening? Do you know that? Do you understand? They knew not until the flood came. They knew not until the flood came. You've got to tell people everywhere you go, you've got to wake up, friend. You've got to wake up. You got to wake up. You got to tell them, Nelson. You got to tell them everywhere you go. You got to wake up. You got to wake up. Suddenly, the flood's coming. And then it's too late. Nobody will get saved after the trumpet sounds. Now, I don't have a scripture to back that up, Brother Danny, but do you agree with it? How many of you agree that nobody will get saved after the trumpet sounds? Let me see your hand if you agree with that. I see you're hesitant. I can understand. Think about it. Will anybody get saved after that trumpet sounds? No. There's not one ounce of evidence. There's not one thing in the Bible. They'll start repenting. They'll start trying to get right with God. You won't have to beg people to come to church on Sunday after that. Better be dangerous to go to church, because the Antichrist will be watching. You go to a church that's preached this old-time rapture, and you're going to be in trouble the moment you walk in those doors. I'm telling you, they knew not until the flood came. They knew not until the flood came. Somebody raise a hand up high and say with me, they knew not until the flood came. Say it out loud, please. And they knew not until the flood came. We have got to get that message out. We've got to convince the world, unsaved world. They know not. They will know not. There will be no warning on CNN. There won't be no news in the papers. The coming of the Lord is at the door. Ross Bede Clomo. Oh, I want to worship him a moment. Please join me, will you, church? Hallelujah. I'm aware of how beautiful these great scriptures are, and they are overwhelming. They are overwhelming. I want you to never forget them. Hallelujah. It's beautiful to know what God said. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Can you imagine a precious wife with an unsaved husband, and they are together? Maybe they on vacation. They're in the automobile together. The wife is driving to relieve the husband for a while because he's driven and driven until he's tired. And as they are driving down the highway, suddenly the trumpet sounds, and the wife is gone in a split second. And the husband jerks himself to consciousness and grabs the wheel. What happened to my darling? Oh, I remember. She told me that Jesus was coming. She told me that Jesus was coming. And if she's really saved, then her children disappear with her. The Bible says that a daughter or a son that's young and small is sanctified by a believing husband or a believing wife. Did you know the Bible says that? Oh yes, a godly woman, a godly man sanctifies their children by the consciousness of that mother or dad. And so those children that have a saved mother, they leave with her and they're gone. And the husband is left by himself to bring that car to a halt. And that deal with a broken heart. He remembers her warning him. I'm just giving you what the Bible says. You say you scare me to death. I'm not trying to scare anybody to death. You can't get saved because you're scared. You can only get saved because you want him. Because you're tired of sin. And the Bible makes it very clear. Two shall be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two shall be working together in the meal, and the one shall be taken, and the other left. Now tell me, somebody help me. How could a church world deny this as the rapture? Do you see any way, Brother Dylan? Do you see any way, Brother Danny? How can a church world deny that? How can they put away that scripture? Brother John, there's no way to take Matthew 24 and take away from it the message of the rapture. It's impossible. You've got to be an unbeliever. You've got to be in a bad spiritual state to deny that this is the rapture. It is too evident. It is too absolutely breathtaking. I love the wonderful thought of such great truth. Two shall be in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. But verse 42 says, watch ye therefore. Watch ye therefore. For you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Let me try to finish with this great scripture. Watch. Everybody in here that's got two eyes and an understanding in your mind that you can watch, raise your hand up with me and tell me by your raising of your hand, I'm watching. Come on, raise your hand. Ah, I'm watching. I'm watching. I'm aware that in such an hour as I think not, the Son of Man cometh. The greatest thing in the world, my dear friends, Rodney and Priscilla, the greatest thing in the world is to be living so abandoned to Him. You don't have to be some perverted kind of overarching Christian. You don't have to be some hard-nosed kind of person who has a lot of confidence in your righteousness. All you need to do is live utterly surrendered to Jesus Christ, the blessed Lord, utterly committed to His graces and to His mercies, utterly committed to His wonder and His overwhelming, overarching blessing and love. You hear me, sir? You hear me from the Lord. He's coming like a thief in the night. We don't know the moment. We don't know the hour, but we know He's coming. We know He's coming. You got to hear me. He's coming. He's coming. The King is coming. Woo! Somebody shout hallelujah. Matthew 24 is plain and as clear as a scripture can be. There is not one thing about this passage that you can apply to Judaism that you can't apply to Christianity. There's not one thing in this scripture that you can take away, it being the rapture. Watch ye therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Let me read another verse here that'll give you a little feeling. Hallelujah. You ought to go home and study some of these words. Hallelujah. Therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord, listen to this now, who then is that faithful and wise servant who, when his Lord shall come, hath made himself ready? Hallelujah. Blessed is that servant, verse 46, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Let me tell you one of the doctrines I've heard, and this is a big one, is that this is a taking away of the wicked and the leaving of the saints. It's a judgment that happens before the coming of the Lord, or at the time of the coming of the Lord. And that's what the man from Pigeon Forge tried to tell me. He said, Reverend Chambers, you got to understand the people that are taken there are going to be the wicked. And it's the righteous that's going to be left here for that period of time. And I said, how in the world can you get that? How in the world can you say that when it says something like this? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Ain't no way, Brother Marlon. That's just plain. See, I want you to get this. I want this to stick to your ribs. I want you to know this. And don't ever forget it. Learn to live careful. Learn to live with great expectation. Learn to live ready for the coming of the Lord. Don't let any kind of malice and criticism and spirits get a hold of you that drown you in things that have no lasting value. Woo! I'm just standing here trying to tremble. Because I know we're in an hour that you got to watch like all diligence. to keep something from happening to you. The least little thing can rob you of your expectancy and your looking for the Lord to come. Let me tell you, the people that go are they that are looking for Him. How many have thought about it all week? Don't raise your hand. I'm not trying to condemn you. But how many? All week. You've had time to think about what you don't like. You've had time to think about things that bug you. You've had time to think about doing your job. You've had time to think about the responsibilities that you're a little slack about. But have you really thought He could come today? Would you stand with me? Raise your right hand. Let's wait on the Holy Ghost a minute. While you're waiting, I wish you would stand in honor and reverence. You got thrown to Vahasi Clear Court Mary. Oh, Korean Sun Nikotobra. You have become the Gurusiki. Oh, Holy Ansanta Katohama. Rum the Kaikadehu. Velik license to click on it. I want you to wait on Him now. We got to wait on the Holy One. Speak to us, Father God. Speak to us, great Father, great Spirit of the heavens. Even so, saith the Lord, I come quickly. Raise up your head. Lift up your arms. Prepare your heart. Get everything of your life in order. Make me the desire of your life. Make me your daily interest. Watch, 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 saith the Lord, for my coming is at the door. Watch, 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 saith the Lord, for my coming is at the door. You could write to Navarra, hallelujah, every saint of God who knows His wonderful presence, please lift a hand while my musicians are coming, please. Would you please sing, if you can, the King is coming. You know that, Brother Joe, Sister Amy? The King is coming. I said the King is coming. Oh, watch, 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 watch. Hallelujah. Somebody raise your hand up and say, watch with me. Would you say it several times? Watch, 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 watch. The coming of the Lord is at the door. Now, if you don't know you're saved, you don't know your sins have been washed away, you've not been living a life. Please give me just a moment to talk with you. Do you understand how the book of Matthew 24 has been almost forsaken by the church world? I want you to help me spread this all over your family, friends, and everybody you know. Share it right now. Share this sermon. Let's bring people back to Matthew 24, the rapture. It is a travesty that anyone would deny that Matthew 24 is talking about the pre-tribulation rapture and the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, you heard me say, when the trumpet sounds, you can't get saved. I didn't mean you can't get saved after the trumpet sounds. I just mean you can't get saved and go in the rapture that you just missed. Oh, the moment that trumpet sounds, anybody who gets saved still goes through the first half of the tribulation period. You don't want to forget that. But you must share this, Matthew 24. It is the word of the living God, and you can depend upon it. With Christ at the center.
Absolutely.
Christ as the Lord.
Absolutely.
Christ as the sovereign one.
Let your sweet aroma fill my life. And Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in your sight. And fairest of 10,000, make me a reflection of your light. Oh, day stars, shine down on me and let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow anywhere you open up the door. Then let your word speak through me. Show me things I've never seen before. Lord, I want to be your witness, and you can take what's wrong and make it right. Oh, day stars, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Oh, Lord, lead me, Lord, I'll follow anywhere you open up the door. Then let your word speak through me. Show me things I've never seen before. Lord, I want to be your witness, and you can take what's wrong and make it right. Day stars, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night.